the end of yesterday's first reading, we learned that Paul and Barnabas, after their long and difficult missionary journey, arrived back at Antioch, their home base, you could say, and they spent a long time there. And I said yesterday that was a chance for them to recover from their journey, and perhaps that's true. The theme yesterday, remember, was peace. Jesus says, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives peace." Well, when we get to today's first reading, we realize, oh, well, it's not as restful and as peaceful as they might have hoped, because there they are in Antioch, and a big controversy blows up in their face, the controversy about circumcision and the requirement of obeying the whole Mosaic law. Now, I'm just projecting, perhaps, but I think it's not hard to imagine what that was like. They finally get that home. They tell everybody the great news. The Lord opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Everywhere we went, people were being converted to the gospel. And in the midst of this joyful announcement, along come these people from Judea, probably from Jerusalem, and they say, well, sure, the Gentiles can be converted, but they have to be circumcised. Maybe if you've had this experience, you go back home to the province or back to your ancestral home, and maybe for a family reunion or just a break or any kind of a gathering with old friends, and you expect to have a relaxing, peaceful, enjoyable time, and you get there and there's some big division in the family or some neighborhood division, and people are not talking to each other, or every time they talk to each other, they're yelling. You say, well, that wasn't a very relaxing vacation after all. Everybody has experiences like that. That's very normal, very common human experience, because we belong to a broken human family. If you read the little notice about Saint Eugene de Mazenod, he's the patron saint of dysfunctional families and families in crisis, which is pretty much every family. So, but that's the church as well. The church is kind of dysfunctional on its natural level, not insofar as we're united with the Lord, but in our human nature, we're still broken. So here's the controversy that is threatening to divide the church, the question of what are new converts, meaning Gentile converts, what are they obliged to do? How much of the Mosaic law, if any, do they have to submit to? Well, so they go, they're sent. Actually, Paul and Barnabas and other representatives are sent to Jerusalem. They can't solve the problem themselves, and not for lack of trying. It says, there arose no little dissension and debate, meaning they really worked this one out. They really tried to convince each other. They probably had lots of arguments, and they just couldn't resolve it. So it's quite a crisis. That's when they decide, okay, we have to go to the apostles. The issue, of course, is not just the apostles, but Jesus himself. What has been given to us, and how is it given to us? We understand that we're incorporated into the body of Christ by baptism, not by circumcision. We understand that, but in the early church, it wasn't that clear, especially to the Jews. They understood that the law of God had been given to them by God. You can't just drop it that easily. So that was understandably a difficult issue. We'll be talking about this for several days. But let's go to the gospel, because in the gospel, Jesus gives a very remarkable image about our union with him. It's the symbol of the vine. Jesus as the vine, the true vine. The Father is the vine grower, we are the branches. This is one of those profound I am statements that we see in John's gospel all the time. I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here it's, I am the true vine, I am the vine, you are the branches. So it's a revelation of who Jesus is, but also a revelation of our connection with him, the life we share with him. vine and branches are one plant. You don't even think of branches separately from the vine, because if they're not attached to the vine, they're not part of the plant at all. Branches are either part of the living organism or they're nothing. Dried up, fruitless. So this image is quite profound. We're not just followers of Jesus or people who are interested in his ideas. We're part of him. We're connected to him. The same life flows through us. What's that life? Divine love. Divine love, meaning the Holy Spirit. Another name of the Holy Spirit is divine love. When the love of God is in us, we are part of Jesus. We are attached to the vine. We're part of that one body. And if we're not, then we have no life at all. Spiritually speaking, no life at all. Now, this image of the vine and the idea that there are branches that are cut off and dried up and thrown into the fire can give us a little insight into the troubling possibility of eternal condemnation. In modern times, this has become a really difficult teaching for people to accept. How could God ever throw anyone whom he loves, whom he created and he loves, into hell forever? No one who loves would ever do a thing like that, which is a pretty powerful argument. But that's assuming that the people want to be part of the vine, that they want to be attached to the Lord. They want to share the one life. What if they don't want to? What if they refuse the life? What if they refuse to bear fruit? What can the vine do? It's not just God throwing people into hell and letting them burn up. It's the branches themselves who wither on their own, who reject the very source of life. And if we see it that way, we can see it makes sense. It's still terrible. It's a terrible possibility. But it makes sense that once a branch is cut off from the vine, what can the vine do? Now, we know that actually there is a solution to branches that are cut off from the vine. It's not that the only option is to throw them in the fire. It's also possible to graft dead branches onto the vine and they come back to life. Something that doesn't happen in the life of vines and plants. You can't take, once a branch is dead, it doesn't come back to life. But in the spiritual life, by one good confession, a dead branch can be brought back to life and can become fruitful. So, as long as we're still in this world, there's hope. As long as anyone is still here, there's still hope. But don't give up on anybody who seems to be a dead branch or seems to be cut off from the vine. Again, I go back to Eugene de Mazenod said he came from such a messed up family, it seems like it have no natural hope for being a fruitful saint. Well, no. You're just looking at it too naturally. No, he became a great saint. He became a fruitful branch on the vine, Saint Eugene. Well, the will of God is always that we remain in him and that we bear much fruit. This gives glory to the Father, Jesus says. This is the fulfillment of my own mission, Jesus says. And this is your own glorification. This is good for everybody. If you follow me, you remain attached to the vine and you bear much fruit. That gives glory to God. It's good for everybody. So this is our prayer for everyone, that everyone will share this one life of divine love flowing through us like branches on the vine, and that even the branches that seem to be hopeless, fruitless, worthless. No, we pray that they be grafted back on by the power of grace and become fruitful. So that's our hope. And we are pilgrims of hope. In this Jubilee year, we're reminded of this every day. We're pilgrims of hope. Why do we have hope? Because of this power of divine love to give us life and to make us fruitful. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not that we can resolve our controversies or heal our dysfunctions. No, our hope is in the Lord, the true vine, who wants us all to bear much fruit.